Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read one verse, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The title of my message this morning is Seeing God. Now, our text is found in the Beatitudes of Christ, contained in perhaps His most famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. The word blessed used by Jesus means happy, joyful, having a sense of delight. And Jesus clearly states that those who are pure in heart shall see God. And I believe that's true in a twofold sense. I believe it's true in the spiritual sense, by faith. As we study His Word and are led by His Spirit, we can see God and His will. And also, I believe that one day it will be literally fulfilled in the physical sense. By literal sight, we will see Him with glorified eyes. To see God, one must be brought into His glorious presence, which is the height of blessedness for the child of God. There can be no greater privilege in all the world than to be able to behold the glory of God and delight in it. As I was studying this morning, I ran across a thought by A.W. Pink. And the thought was this: how different are God's ways and His thoughts from man's ways and his thoughts? God esteems heart purity as true blessedness, and as such, you'll be rewarded with being able to see God in His glory and with clarity. Whereas men are more content with outward display, outward shows, ceremonies, outward prosperity. But Jesus said, you want real blessedness, happiness, joy? Have a pure heart that enables you to see God. Why is this to be valued? Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. God desires truth in the inward parts. Now, as I thought about this verse, it presents a problem. There are problems presented in this text. The first problem, and now, let me say this, there's no problem with the Bible. There's no problem with God or how He has even stated this. The problem is with us. The first problem that I see is how to interpret this text in light of what John 1:18 says, where it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. No man has ever beheld God revealed in all of His resplendent glory as a pure spirit. How would God remedy that? Well, God became man. Jesus Christ became man. So, in order to see God, we have to see His glory through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to see Him through the perfections, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you can't see Christ as the one who died for your sins, buried, risen again, as the Lord and Savior, you can't see God. Because we're told in the Bible, in John chapter 1 and verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So if you're going to be able to see God, you have to see it through the glory of Jesus Christ. He is the second person of the sacred Trinity. He is the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. So in order to see God, you must see Him through Jesus. When Thomas said, "Lord, show us the Father, how can we see Him?" Jesus said, "He that has seen Me hath seen the Father." Now, I have a personal conviction that I believe is biblical. I believe that throughout all eternity, the person of the Godhead that we will see, that we will worship, that we will recognize is Jesus. Because He is the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. And due to His willingness to come in humiliation, to be obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, to be raised from the dead, God's given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So I believe throughout all eternity, the person of the Godhead that we will literally see is the One who came in our place. The One who identified with us. The Lord Jesus Christ. So the first problem is, you can't see God as a pure spirit. The only way that you can see Him in His glory is through Jesus Christ, His Son, who is the brightness, who is the express image of the brightness of God's glory. The next problem that we encounter with our text, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Who's pure in heart? Who's absolutely pure? Without spot, without blemish, without defilement, without sin. You see, the second problem is the teaching of man's impure heart. His blinded eyes. His spiritual inability to see the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Lost folks don't see it. I didn't see it. For years and years and years and years, I was blinded. You see, man's heart, there's nothing pure about it in its natural state. In fact, it was so wicked, it's one of the reasons why God brought the flood in the days of Noah. Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Man's heart is impure. It's sinful. And the sad thing is, men are deceived by their own hearts. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What man can know it? You ask the average person who compares themselves to other people, and they'll say, "Well, I've got a good heart. I'm a good person. I deserve to go to heaven." And you know that, and they may be very sincere about that, but they're deceived. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can't be saved until you recognize you've got a heart problem. You're against God. You're against His Word. All of sin, it covers everybody. We all come into this world with a deceitful heart that's set upon evil and sin. That's why children have to be corrected. They have to be trained. Trained. I couldn't get that out there. Sorry about that. It's because by nature, we're children of wrath, even as others. You say, but Jesus never said that about the heart of man. Surely Jesus thinks everybody's heart is precious and everybody's good. I'm sure Jesus said that. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's the real Jesus talking. That's how He regarded the heart of man. It's not pure. It's sinful. And that sinful heart blinds our eyes. We don't see things like God sees them when we're lost. In fact, most people think they're perfectly okay. They don't have any qualms about eternity because their heart has deceived them and they're blinded. They don't see what they really need. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. An overwhelming majority of people are not going to be able to see the glory of God because their heart's not right and their eyes are blinded. As a result, when you don't see things clearly, you don't understand them. And that's exactly, the Bible says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Why do an overwhelming majority of people reject the gospel of Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation? They don't have any understanding. And that has to be given by God. Man can't understand. His affections are misplaced. He can't see God because his eyes are fixed on materialism and covetousness. Think about what most people are governed by today. What they can gain and consume of this world's goods. That's what their eyes are on. He can't see God because his eyes are fixed on the world and its seeming pleasures. And they'll pursue that madly without ever giving thought to their soul. Without ever giving thought to eternity. I always tell young people, you ought to thank God if you have parents that actually bring you to church. Where you can hear God's Word. Think about it. Maybe if you come all the time to every service, 4 or 5 hours a week, they're getting something, hopefully, that they're not getting in the world at all. In fact, something that completely counteracts that. But most people have their mind not on the things of God, not on seeing God, not on delighting in God, but rather their heart's taken up with the things of this world. He can't see God because his eyes are fixed on himself and what pleases him and his own self-righteousness. Most people think way too highly of themselves. In fact, it's in vogue today to say, well, I love myself. I'm going to do what's best for me. It's all about me. It ought to be all about God, His glory and honor. Whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. He can't see God because his eyes are fixed on outward displays of religion. Think about how many people who actually look at outward forms of religion and think that somehow that's what connects them to God. Whether it be a church building, or an idol that they may pray to, or a baptismal pool that they go into, or some beads that they pray with. Those are all things that they're outward signs. You can't see God in that. You have to see God through Jesus Christ, through the power of His work, through the glory of His person. So what that means, if we've got problems here, that man by nature has a heart that is impure and eyes that are blinded to what's true, then what has to happen? What enables that person? What requirement must be met for them to be able to see God and to have their heart purified? Well, if a man is to see God, there must be a radical change within his heart. Internally, inside, in his will, his mind, his affections. When I talk about the heart of man, I've said this for years, it's not that thing that has an aorta valve that pumps blood. I'm talking about the real you inside. What you think about, desire, the affections you have, your understanding. That has to be changed. A spiritual change that purifies the heart and enlightens the eyes must take place. If man's heart by nature is impure and his eyes are blinded, something must happen that enables him to see God. And you'd think something like that, there'd definitely be an answer. How can I see the glory of God? How can my heart be purified? Well, Jesus gives us the answer. Turn over to John chapter 3. He was talking to one of the most religious people of his day, Nicodemus. He was a ruler in Israel, a ruler of the Jews. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, this highly respected religious authority. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, listen to this language, he cannot. He has no ability whatsoever. Unless he is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Again, reflecting the idea that he didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. He thought he was talking about the physical birth. Jesus is talking about the new birth, being born again. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And again, it's not talking about your physical being. It's talking, the fleshly nature is a nature that opposes God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. They can't see God. The flesh can't follow God. That which is flesh, meaning that our old nature that we get from our parents, it will never produce anything spiritual or holy. It's just the flesh. It's carnal. It's sinful. By way of contrast, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now where does that come from? Where does every birth come from? How does life come? Where does it come? It comes from God. If you're going to be, in order to be born again, God must make you spiritually alive. He may be doing it to you right now. Where He gives you, He brings you to spiritual life and immediately gives you the ability right then and there to say, I'm going to repent of my life and my sins, and I'm going to believe the message of the gospel that you've been preaching for years and years. I believe that Jesus died for me. That He shed His blood for me. That He was buried for me. That He rose again from the dead for me. If that desire is in you right now, it's because you've been born of God. And He's given you eyes to see. The way to God is through Jesus Christ. If a man is to see God, he must be spiritually born of God. Born of the Spirit. And when God does that, He gives you the very nature of God implanted within. It's the new birth. The Holy Spirit changes the heart, the mind, and the will of man, enabling him to see for the first time what he is by nature and what he needs, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's, to me, the best verse describing how this is all opened up to somebody is in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The realization of that verse in my life is the single most important thing that's ever happened to me. The day when God showed me that Jesus Christ is the only way of forgiveness, of reconciliation, the only way to be saved. Changed my life forever. And it'll change yours. Ephesians 1:18 describes it this way, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I remember, and so do you if you're saved, how it seemed like your eyes were open. I'm a sinner. I acknowledge it. But I'm a sinner that sees Jesus Christ is the only remedy. And I'm trusting You, Lord. My eyes have been opened to see the glory of the finished work of Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, our hearts are purified. Our eyes are open to see the glory of God. Turn over with me to Acts 15 and verse 8. And God, which knoweth their hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear the law as a means of salvation? You can't bear that. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. God enlightens the eyes, purifies the heart by faith. And the closer that we are to Christ, the better we will be able to view His glory. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Will be changed. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, His image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, the Spirit of God opens up the eyes of your understanding, makes you see your need of Jesus Christ, gives you the grace to believe the message. He begins to dwell in you and purify your heart, your desires, your affections. That starts in the new birth. It's carried on through the work of sanctification. And as you commune with God, you're able to see what pleases Him more clearly through His Word and in prayer. And that's in this. So, in what sense does a child of God see God right now? Well, if your heart has been changed and purified by faith, you can see God as He reveals Himself in creation. When you have time, read Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, where it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. See, when I look at the glory of creation, I see God as the sovereign architect, as the creator, the designer, the sustainer of all things. I don't look out there and say, wow, look what man has made. Or wow, isn't it amazing the lottery of nature just came about by chance? No, man, I got better sense than that. I see the glory of God displayed. The pure in heart see God in the Scriptures. They start to pray, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. When God, when He changed my heart, when He opened my eyes to see my need of Jesus Christ, immediately He put within me a desire to read, to know, to understand, and apply the Word of God. Everything changed in my life. Because I started seeing things like God sees them, as revealed in His Word. You want to know how God sees things? You want to know what the will of God is? It's in this book. It's not mysterious. It's revealed in the Word. The pure in heart see God in His providence. When God's purified your heart by faith and your motives are right, you want to please Him, you see Him working in your everyday life. You start to recognize, people say, well, that was a God thing, man. You ever hear people say, that's a God thing? Well, I've got news for you. Everything that happens in my life is a God thing. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. All things for for His good, for my good and His glory. That's how I see things now. I see things through the lens of God's providence, His goodness, His purpose. I don't believe there's any accidents. God has a purpose. And He's opened up my eyes to see it in providence. And if we would just begin to recognize His sovereignty each and every day, our hearts would be filled with wonder, with amazement, that God would deal with us in our lives. That He cares about us. And He wants us to trust Him and see Him working in every area of our life. The pure in heart see God as they walk in obedience to His commands and desire to be holy as He is holy. What happens when your heart's purified? You want to love what God loves. You want to do what pleases Him. It's all about walking in the light as He is in the light. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. As God works in you, He gives you a desire to be more like Him, more like Christ. I fear that our hearts are often too carried away with sin and pleasure and the things of this world. And that's where we find our delight, our contentment. And it's so fleeting. The pure in heart see God's character and His attributes, and they respond by worshiping and exalting His holy name. If you're seeing God through the truth of His Word, through the glory of His person, you're going to want to praise Him and exalt Him. I believe the pure in heart see God's glory in the work and ministry of His church. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:21. I see how important the Lord's church is because I see God. And I have a heart that wants to honor Him and please Him. But I've never seen God physically yet. These are ways I see Him now that I'm saved, now that I recognize who He is and His salvation. But I believe that this is one day going to be completely, literally fulfilled. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Right now, I see God by faith, through His Word, by the aid of His Spirit. And my understanding is often clouded and hindered by sin and sorrow and circumstances. And I don't always see things right. But there's coming a day when our entire being will be transformed in holiness so that we can stand in the physical presence of our Lord and see the fullness of His glory. I'm going to see the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now, right now, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Read Revelation 4. When John's caught up into the Spirit, to heaven. And he saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a promise in Isaiah 33:17, thine eyes shall see the King in His beauty. They shall behold a land that is very far off. I believe that. I am looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. I believe what Job said in Job 17:15. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. One day, we're going to see Him as He is in all of His glory, His majesty. We're going to take our place with all the saints of God of all ages. And we're going to rejoice together in the glory of our Savior throughout the eternal ages. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Until then, may God purify our hearts, our minds, our wills, our affection, so that we may be able to see Him more clearly and His ways. If you're not saved, the only thing I can do is say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Let's all stand.